Hey, small business owners. Have your sales gone up but your bank account doesn't? Has getting to know your numbers been on your to-do list for a while? Let's face it, you're good at doing the work in your business, but the money is hard. Have you noticed that by the time you pay your bills and pay everyone else each month, there's just not that much left for you? It's just not fair. As a business owner, you know you deserve to be getting paid more than you are, but you just can't seem to figure out where all the money went. What if there was another way? What if there was a way to tell your money where to go instead of wondering where it went? What if you had money in your bank account at the end of the month to show for all your hard work? Well, this is the sign you've been looking for, that you're not alone and help is just a call away. The team at Likes Accounting prides themselves on being financial translators that can help you find smarter ways to make money, save money, and finally start paying yourself a salary that you deserve. Working with Likes Accounting not only helps you know your numbers, but they're cheerleaders helping you build a more profitable lifestyle business. The team at Likes Accounting aren't just a bunch of numbers nerds. They're all self-employed experts with experience in your industry. Megan, the owner, is not only fun, easy to understand, and crazy smart. She's even a CPA. Tech to CEO listeners get a free review of their QuickBooks online when they mention this podcast and visit likesaccounting.com. Again, get a free review of your financial data when you visit likesaccounting.com and the Tech to CEO podcast.
Jonathan Peters is owner and CEO of TKM Industrial Services with 9 years' experience in providing the pressure washing, soft washing contractors with industry-based chemicals, equipment, services, and knowledge, specializing in connecting our customers with the essential solutions they need to impact the community where they live, work, and play. I received a business degree with emphasis in management from Washington Adventist University, where I played baseball and served as 3-year captain. His home is Kernsville, North Carolina, with his wife, Jennifer, and the 2 children, Abigail and Samuel. He has a passion for sharing his spiritual walk with God and truly enjoy being involved in his local church and local community. His goal is to share with as many people as he can the love and testimony that God has shown him in the 40-plus years of life. Jonathan, welcome back to the Technician to CEO podcast, my friend. Always a pleasure having a conversation with you. I've read your bio. I know a lot about you, but for the listeners out there, maybe just tell them who Jonathan is.
So Jonathan is an ever-changing entity that it seems that needs to kind of adjust to the market and everything else right now. No, I am. I tell you what, I'm passionate about life. And I'll give Bergflow a plug too. You know, ever since I signed on with you guys last year, the beginning of last year, it's kind of changed my mindset, which is kind of unlocked kind of, I think, untapped potential. And untapped potential meaning I wasn't able to kind of process and then access the things that are making my personal life successful as well as, you know, my business being successful. So, man, I tell you, I love work. I would say I'm a workaholic, and I probably anybody watching this podcast is a workaholic. So I think we all share that together, but I'm finding the line between my family and my business, and first and foremost on the front of that, God. But it's been fun, man. I tell you, I've enjoyed the evolution and the growth that I've done, and I've enjoyed the reflection. So, yeah, I know that was a kind of all over the board there, but I don't know, man. I enjoy work. I enjoy my family. I love, you know, volunteering in my community as well as my church. Like our mission at TKM is, you know, is putting the contractors we serve with the appropriate solutions so they can effectively make their community better, right? Mm-hmm. Their families better, their community better. And that's kind of our purpose is in my personal life as well as my business is to kind of put people together to have meaningful conversations that ultimately leave them better than they were before that conversation. And it's really changed my life and made a huge impact by listening more, and really being 100% involved with someone at a level that just makes you appreciate people more, man. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you've switched focus to what you do to being more focused on people. You're a very transparent person. And, you know, I'm reminded of something that I watched a little while ago. Jordan Peterson says, the way that we pay for our privilege to own a company, run a company, you know, have input in other people's lives is with our virtue.
Yeah.
And having, you know, you clearly have a high sense of virtue, or, you know, a virtue around really helping people. And I know a little bit about your company and how passionate you are about getting your people to succeed. But let's talk a little bit about the journey for you. You know, what did it take for you to step into the CEO, from that technician role into that CEO role?
So it's still in process, as my good friend Wesley will tell you as he coaches me, that it's still in process. So, but I think the biggest thing is mindset, right? And, you know, to be cliche in the Berg Flow world, it's the 20% and our 80%. Mm. The focus has shifted to the things that I was thinking about anyway, like they were there, but they always seem to just kind of get pushed to the back burner. So now my energy is being spent more in the planning and the thought process stage. Not so much the, okay, well now I know what I need to do, so let's just go out and check these boxes. I know there's a portion of that happens, but it's really kind of the focus in the overview of saying, okay, how is this going to affect my company now, but how is it also going to affect it a year from now? That's where my mindset has changed. So that way I'm able to think long-term instead of just kind of reacting to the moment, you know, and you're still able to react, of course, but if you aren't thinking long-term, your reactions are going to be completely different. And they were different, you know, 4 years ago to where they are now. It's funny, Dirk, and even you mentioned, you know, end of last year talking about recession, right? And I think I shared this with you in our coaching is my first thought is to stop and pause, right? Because that's the internal me, is to like get really conservative. But now that my mindset is different, thinking more like a CEO as opposed to the technician, it's like, no, we're going to push forward now. And here we are a month into our new location in Wilmington, right in the middle of a recession, right? So I wouldn't have done that like 3 years ago. So that's where my mindset has gone, is like, no, we're just going to keep pushing, man. And we've got a plan. It's going to work. And we're just going to keep moving forward.
Yeah. Going on this journey on, you know, being better, becoming better, you know, the true role of a CEO is to look into the future. You know, the people in your company, as they follow you, they follow the vision, they follow the leader. And if the only thing that you're doing is focusing on surviving, that's going to be the depth of the leadership in your company, is they're also going to have a survival mindset. And, you know, sometimes you got to put yourself out there and stretch your mind and stretch your faith. What made you decide to take on this journey? Why not just, I mean, your company's doing well, you know, you guys were surviving. Why put yourself out there?
I wasn't satisfied. Like I would sit there at my desk. And it was like, okay, there's gotta be more, there is more. And I kept hearing, and you see your competition, you see the market, you see the opportunities. And, you know, back to the very beginning, original conversation is when you're open to talking to people and you're genuine and you're authentic, the opportunities that come your direction multiply, right? And so that's what I kept noticing, is like, man, there are more and more opportunities that are presenting themselves. And if I don't change the way I'm thinking, I'm going to miss out on all these potential opportunities that could better my family, but also better my team that's around me. And then in my community, in my church, it's just going to snowball down, right? So, you know, you always hear the phrase in church, especially, that you're supposed to be, you know, good stewards of God's money when you tithe. Well, there's also a level of that to, you're supposed to be good stewards of God's talent that he provided you with, opportunities, all those things. So those kind of thoughts started, you know, just they were unsettled within me. And I just was like, ah, something's not right. I'm not maximizing what I could do. And I knew that I needed to grow for that to happen. And thank the Lord, just through introductions and with you guys, you know, I've been able to kind of unlock that growth, right? And you know how much I love to read. So, you know, but I've read books and I've listened to that over the last 2 years, and it's really just unlocked potential that I didn't realize was there.
Yeah, our biggest adversaries are within us, you know, because we judge ourselves and we look at our potential and we look at what's possible and we're like, man, am I really up for this fight? And obviously, I mean, I work with you quite a lot and we've got a lot in common. You know, we've become personal friends over the period as well. Is how's this journey been to, you know, the new you, breaking through the ceiling, going into this uncharted territory, which is on the other side of this challenge that you're overcoming? How was that journey? Is it, how would you describe that? It's obviously easy. It's very easy.
No, absolutely not. You know, it is. But I will say one thing. First of all, it's not frustrating. It's hard. It is extremely hard to constantly battle toggling between doing the work technician wise and then sitting in and trying to be the CEO and work on your business, right? That is the battle. But it's not frustrating at all. I have not found myself frustrated in the journey. I've been down. I've been super high. I mean, I've had all the emotions. But what I've found is by changing my mindset, I'm more consistent because I've become steadier. So I'm not so high and not so low. So I've kind of squeezed that into more of a manageable area. And my wife will tell you that too, you know, that I've definitely squeezed that in and I'm not so up and down. There's not these big, huge peaks and valleys, which has been good for my business and my personal life. But it is, it's a daily struggle, man. I tell you what, I mean, I sit here with a list of things from a CEO standpoint that I need to accomplish. And then on the other side of that, the next stack that's beside is all the stuff that I have to task with the role I'm currently serving in my business as we've expanded. That's the biggest struggle, is just, it's a mental game where you have to battle not being so hard on yourself that I didn't accomplish certain things, right? But I also have to be realistic with myself too, that if I don't accomplish this today, the ramifications from a CEO standpoint are going to be weeks and months. If I don't accomplish this one task from a technician standpoint, I can do that tomorrow. So that's the struggle I still battle, is trying to make sure that I prioritize in the right fashion.
So I think one of the interesting things, and as I have these conversations with CEOs, you know, I'm often asked the question, who sets the role in your life? Because the business is coming to you and say, hey, Jonathan, I need you to be CEO. But the business is also coming to you and say, hey, I need you to be technician. I need you to be firefighter. I need you to get kicked around. I need you to be the emotional support. I need you to be the visionary. I need you to be all these things. How do you balance that? You know, there's so many demands on you as CEO. And, you know, just because you have the title, you're just a human. You just have 24 hours. How do you find balance in all these demands on you?
You know, I've been given a lot of good counsel here recently, within the last 6 months to a year, about boundaries, right? And the importance of having those. And if first I always thought that, well, there's good boundaries within my personal life, right? But even more so now within my business, having the clear boundaries where it without being like, you know, rude to your team or just super standoffish with them. It's more, it just never stops, right?
Yeah. Yeah, business carries on, man.
Yeah, right. No, but it's just about being clear with, okay, at this moment, I have to show up here. Mm-hmm. And if I don't show up this way, then this is what's going to happen. So that's the biggest thing for me, man, is really focusing on my boundaries and making sure that I'm always thinking about that. How's this going to affect what I need to do? How is this going to affect like the day-to-day operations within one of our retail stores? You know, if I don't have a clear-cut boundary on how I need to work in our Wilmington store today, then I could let stuff creep in from our Kernersville location that's going to pull away from the customer service we're trying to provide here in Wilmington. So I think keeping that in the forefront of my mind at all times has really helped me juggle this. Now, unfortunately, I wish I was like perfect and I was the one that set all my boundaries, but it doesn't work that way, right? Unfortunately, now there's a lot of boundaries that are being set within my business still. They're setting my boundaries and they're setting my schedules. And that's where I just kind of have to pause that. But it's getting better. It's just a day-to-day struggle.
Yeah. One of the things that becomes very evident, you know, when a business owner or a CEO is up against the ceiling and you kind of find yourself in a place of complacency, is there's the unintended consequences where you get alienated from your passion. Because you're in pursuit of this fulfillment all the time and you kind of get numb. You know, it's like when you sit on your leg, it goes numb. And after a while, you don't feel it anymore. But when the pain kicks in, it's very uncomfortable. So I think a lot of people become uncomfortably comfortable for too long. And then they get to that point in their life where they're like, man, I'm just going to make a knee-jerk reaction. I'm going to sell my company. I'm going to fire everybody. I'm going to do something else. And how do you manage that within yourself?
Dude, I tell you what, it's you mentioned the word transparency earlier. Being transparent with the people in my inner circle, right? Those you know, the five people that affect you the most, if you're doing that. So whether it's accountability or not, so like it's starting with me is you know, having a direct relationship where I'm journaling and I'm having prayer daily and I'm having devotions, because that right there centers me back to where, all right, who am I actually answering to? Then second of all, it's having that direct transparency with my wife. So because she's the one that's going to deal with all the bad struggles, right? So the highs and the lows, she doesn't get the middle part. She doesn't get my full energy while I'm, you know, at the office from 6:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night. She doesn't get that lump of time. She gets one extreme or the other on either side of that. But what I've found is that like every night here, since we're in Wilmington, we're in a neighborhood. We go out and we walk every night. We're spending time just walking. And it's kind of like this debrief session where I get to have conversation. She gets to ask questions. I get to make sure that we're kind of working through any challenge from a personal standpoint, but also from a business standpoint. I get to kind of bounce ideas off someone where she's not going to care if she tells me something I want to hear or not. Right. But when you have team, sometimes you may not get the exact thing you're going to need to hear from someone. Like I told my executive leadership team on Monday in our ELT meeting, it's like at the very end, I was like, you have to hold me accountable to being CEO. I was like, because all of you know that I'm busy and you're very aware of that, but that doesn't matter. If I'm not showing up for you in the right fashion, you have to tell me that, because if not, I don't know, right? I'm trying to be aware, but I don't know that answer. So you have to tell me, hey, dude, if you don't show up like this today, this is what's going to happen. Oh, okay. Makes perfect sense. What do you need from me? So it's keeping my close people up to date with what's going on, how I'm doing. You're really good at this, Wesley. You always ask those questions, you know, so how are you doing? Oh no. How are you personally doing? Cause you know, there's the PR outward, hey, Jonathan's fine, everything's good. But then the real look on your face and behind your emotions says something completely different. So it's just trying to keep that mindset always open and then being real with myself and just be like, look, dude, I'm struggling right now, you know? Okay, well, what does that look like? Who do I need to talk to? man, I'm super high right now. Everything's going great, but I can't get so focused on that that I lose track that a week from now, something's going to adjust. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think the ability to take stock much quicker of where you are and how you're feeling and to take action accordingly. You know, I often speak to business owners and they're like, man, I got my ass handed to me on Monday. And then I'm having a conversation with them on Thursday and I'm like, and you're still reeling about that? You know, 4 days of business have gone by, 4 days of leadership has gone by. And unfortunately, the responsibility of that position comes with you. You can't just carry that sentiment of, oh, you know, I had a tough day on Monday, so I'm just going to take it easy this week.
Yeah, no.
The demand from your business is much higher. The demand of the team that you lead is much higher. So it is, that is the hero's journey. So
yeah,
you are a second generation legend. I know that your dad kind of started the business. What's it like filling big shoes? I know your dad kind of, you know, was the father of TKM, but what sense of responsibility do you feel to say, okay, it's not just for me to keep the boat afloat. I'm actually sailing somewhere. I'm actually doing more with this.
You could answer this for me because you know the answer to this question, right? The motivation I feel is my mom and dad, my dad had a business on his own. His whole intention was to put my sister and I through school, and he never really had any other further intentions. But, you know, as I went out into the business world and was successful, and then, you know, I wanted my parents to be successful too. But when we had conversations around partnership, it was very much a business relationship, because the last thing I wanted was my parents excited that their son wanted to be a part of the business, you know? So once we kind of came to that understanding and we came together, it was very much a partnership. Yes. You know, my father is my dad and we always had a really close relationship, and our relationship has adjusted, right? It's not been negative, but, sometimes there's a little bit more tension than other times, but it's not where we can't have discussion. And I think that's the biggest thing is my goal always was to make sure my parents were okay. Right. That was like the initial, like in the first year, I wanted to buy my dad a new truck. When we partnered in 2014, you know, that was my goal, is I want to get to the point where I want to buy my dad a new truck, because he was driving around in the old, same old truck that he had been working out of for years. It's like, that's priority number one, right? And then priority number two was to start building a foundation so that way when they wanted to step away, they could. And my mom was actually driving a school bus still. And in that environment, my mom, every kid is like my mom's kid. So, but nowadays you can't touch a kid. You can't say anything to kids. You can't do anything in that environment. So we were seeing like this negative impact on my mom emotionally and, you know, health from a health standpoint too, because you're basically in an enclosed Petri dish with a bunch of snotty, you know, little kids running around everywhere. So like I wanted her to retire. So within like the first, so year one was a truck, year two was getting mom to retire. And so she retired. And then, so we were checking these boxes and I realized how important it was that we continue to establish that. And then as we built our team up, as we've grown, then I took that same mindset and started applying it to each one of our team members. Like, what can we do? What kind of environment are we creating that hopefully there's some long-term sustainability for them to grow in, you know, and their families to be a part of. And that's always the external motivation for me, is just knowing how hard do I need to work to make sure my team is provided for. Those are the things that keep me up at night, man. It's not my income. It's not those things. That stuff doesn't keep me up at night. What keeps me up at night is making sure, man, that I show up in the right way for our team. So that way they're able to enjoy their life moving forward. Right. They're never going to truly love TKM like I do. If I think that, I'm delusional. Even like my most, trusted people, you know, that have been with us the longest, it's still not their baby. So, but what I need to do and create is to make sure that there's still a knowledge that I care as much about them as I do my company, right? And I tell them all, if I'm not a technician, I don't have all the technical ability. So if they're not here, my business doesn't operate. So if I'm delusional and thinking, oh, I don't need you, it doesn't work that way, man.
I know a little bit about, you know, because we have a lot of conversations, and you mentioned a couple of things. You said, hey, my dad was really looking after my dad was really important, looking after my wife and the relationship that I have and how much I invest time and effort and energy and resources into the church and the community and stuff like that. Everything comes at a price to you as CEO. How do you negotiate success?
That's the question, right? That's like the big question. So negotiating success. So to me, there again, it goes back to what my core values are, right? What am I chasing personally? Like, what am I after? What am I chasing? Am I chasing a bigger house? Am I chasing fancier cars? What is my goal? And so when I first did my one sheet, the first time I sat down with you, and Dirk, it was like, I have no idea, because I didn't know personally what I wanted or where I needed to be. That had never entered my mind. It was just literally, I was showing up and just trying to be successful. But as that's gained some more clarity, what I've realized is it's not so much personal gain for my own benefit. What drives me is personal gain. That way it can affect others in many different avenues. So the more success that I get, it's driven off of a team of people that are making me more successful. So it's making sure that I'm aware of that, right? And understanding that Jonathan's not successful unless I have a team of people that are being successful in their own right. And then it's going to make me more successful. If I'm not successful, Jonathan's not successful in my marriage, if I'm not inputting the time and making sure my wife is successful, whether that's spiritually, whether that's physically, you know, health standpoint, all those things. And even with my kids, right? I mean, I can expect my kids to learn everything I teach them and just, this is what Jonathan says because I'm the parent and this is the way it's supposed to be. But when you look at it, man, they're not my kids, dude. I am the ambassador for God that gave me these kids. So I have an obligation to raise them in an appropriate fashion that brings glory to God, not to Jonathan. My kids doing the right things is not a reflection on me. It's a reflection on my ability to take the word of God and interpret it into my life and show that, right? So that's what drives me, is knowing that I've been given two beautiful children, a wonderful wife who like supports me no matter what. And then also a team of people within our business. I mean, 15 individuals that have helped shape my life, that have helped change me, because now each one of them is a part of my history, right? So now I have all of their history within mine. And that is awesome to think back. Even those individuals that aren't still with us at TCAM, you know, over the years we've had people come and go. I still think through many of those interactions where it's like, man, you know what? I was given the opportunity to share in a very meaningful conversation at that point in time in that person's life that really helped shape my next interaction with someone else, right? So if I can't remember those and shape those things, man, I'm never going to be able to handle success. Because if I don't remember where I came from, right, I'm never going to be able to get to where I want to go. And that's what building that foundation to me is, constantly building up and up and up. With that foundation block being, you know, God is my compass with morals and ethics, and those are non-negotiable. And then all my interactions moving forward have helped shape how I handle success. 10 years ago, man, I wouldn't have handled success the way I can now. And I know that some of that comes with age, but I think more of it is just the experience and my focus. has changed, where it's not so much about materialistic things where I'm just trying to get. It's more about, hey, you know what? I'm good with what I've got. God's been so good, and I never have wanted for a meal ever in my life. But there are others within my direct view that are struggling that I better make a difference in their life.
Yeah, I think, you know, a couple of things come to mind as you speak, but is I think the biggest gift we can give ourselves is clarity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that references back to the one sheet. And for once, you actually sit and you say, like, hey, what is truly important to me? And not, hey, what does Instagram say? What does Facebook say? What does my peer group say? What does my friend say? What does society want from me? What is truly important to me as an individual? And I think that's the biggest gift that we can give to those people that we lead within the company is, can we bring them to an absolute point of clarity?
Yeah.
And it's always easy when we say, well, I'm just going to tell them what to do. I'm just going to give them tasks. I'm just going to tell them, hey, focus on this. But without knowing how it all fits into the bigger picture, they don't truly understand and have clarity for themselves. Because I don't think life is so rushed and people live in this rushed environment that nobody ever stops to find clarity. And everybody, well, I don't want to live on a hamster wheel. And then, you know, yeah, you're just like 50,000 other people that say they don't want to live on a hamster wheel. So you're just standing in line, waiting to get on the hamster wheel.
Yeah.
Just because you say, I don't want to do it. There's action and then there's intent.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. The more you take in your surroundings, I know some people are more aware, right? Like, me and my wife are completely opposite. Like Jennifer, there could be a nuclear reaction happen beside her head and she would never even know it existed, right? Where I'm the opposite of that. But I've noticed, like, if you're very aware and you want to be aware, right, just to kind of take in your surroundings and truly, you know, take in the things that you're looking to do, dude, it opens up this whole nother world, right? Because you can appreciate things. You know, the things you have, yes, but the people around you, that's the true joy of life, is appreciating the people that are around you, right? Those interactions is where you're gaining all your information and your knowledge anyway. That's what's really changed for me, is just being more aware of that and then being able to intake it all, not just, okay, I'm going to glean out just the few little things that I'm trying to grasp and then I'm going to shut off and move to the next thing. And it's the full thing. Of it, taking that in. We're doing interviews down here, right? And I've done a lot of interviews and hiring in my lifetime and firing, and I've had a lot of things happen. But man, we had this interview here in Wilmington, and it was the most insane thing I've ever experienced in my life, right? The candidate had walked in, and you could tell there was a fight just internally that this individual wanted just to like get out. So like the candidate sat down and just kind of, you know, small talk for like a couple questions. And then I asked this question about, you know, like, what makes your purpose and why did you want to come to TKM? And just like the hate that spewed out of this candidate's mouth for like the next half an hour without a breath, right? Not towards me, but just in life in general. And I found myself like, okay, you know what? You just need to end this because this isn't going to work. But I'm like, you know what? No, this isn't about hiring someone. This is about, now I'm talking with a human being here, not a candidate. Mm. And this candidate needs to get this out, right? And we would go like really high, and then he would kind of soften a little bit. It's like, okay, all right. And then we go back up again and then back down. And it went on for about an hour. And then finally, when they left, I mean, I shook his hand and I thanked him for it. And it was like, oh my gosh, that was a crazy experience. But you know what? Hopefully his life and day is just now better. Right. So if I hadn't been aware of that, I would have ended it 5 minutes in and just been like, oh, you're wasting my time. But no, it's not a waste of my time to talk to somebody.
Yeah, I think sometimes we don't understand the impact that we can have just in a conversation with somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, and for you, this scenario is with a candidate. But the same is true for people that you lead. You know, sometimes they just need to have a authentic, candid conversation and get stuff off their chest in a trusting environment. So
right.
The next point I want to talk about is, now that you're in the CEO role, I think people have this delusion that, oh, when I'm CEO, my life is going to be easy. I'm going to play golf and I'm going to, you know, have breakfast with my wife at 10 o'clock in the morning. What was the realization that the title CEO doesn't come with a, you know, golf membership?
Well, you know, if whatever company is doing that, please let me know. I need to buy into that somewhere, right? No. Reality is, so it's interesting. So I ran nursing homes before this, long-term healthcare. And when I was looking to transition away from that into coming down, you know, and starting this with my dad, one of our good friends, an older gentleman at our church, pulled my wife aside and said, well, now that he's going to be running his own business, he's not going to have any time. And my wife looked at him and said, he doesn't have any time now because it's a 24-hour a day, 365 day a year business. So what can be any different? The only difference now is that it's his business and now we get to be a part of that completely, right?
Yeah.
So yes, there is no stopping to your business. It's nonstop. It is constant. Your brain never stops moving. But what I've seen different out of that, man, is the joys, the wins and the losses, man, of being able to affect decisions. That's where I've noticed the difference for me being able to handle that is because is I know that the weight of a decision that I make is going to affect someone. But I always felt that anyway when I was working in corporate world, right? You know, when I was working for someone else, I always felt the weight of those decisions, but it just kept internally beating me up because I couldn't affect and do anything other than, well, I get to work in this little environment. I'm the entrepreneur, as they used to tell me. But yet, why are you over $100 in this, you know, this budget category? And now we're going to beat you up about it. It's like, well, I thought I was the entrepreneur and I could make those decisions. But now I get to make those decisions. And yes, you carry that weight. But if we're realistic about it and we actually enjoy where we work and we're going to put our full all in anyway, you're carrying those weight anyway. But you don't get the joy on seeing what that decision does for you. Whether it's negative or positive, it's still a good thing to be able to see that decision go all the way through, right? And then owning that on the back end too, yeah, it can be hard to own things that you've done wrong. But, you know, there's also joy around it too because it's that self-reflection and growth that allows you to become better. You know, if you're going to beat yourself up about something, man, at least learn from it and grow from it. Don't just go crawl in a hole and go away, you know?
So. Yeah, there's a great book. It's called Complete Ownership. And it talks, you know, I think a lot of times when people think about running a business, owning a business, starting a business, whatever it is, they're like, man, I'm just going to have all the good stuff. You know, I only need to own the good stuff. All the bad stuff is, oh, I had the wrong person. I had the wrong product. I had the wrong price. Mm-hmm. The market didn't respond. Is complete ownership is what you own on the back end as well. And if your leadership is not developing, if your company is not growing because you are the solution to everything, then own that. Because that's the only way that you're going to take your company to the next level. You know, there's an old African saying that if you want to go fast, go alone. If you're going to go further, go together.
Yeah. I was hoping for the turtle on the fence post analogy, but that was just as good.
That one I need a picture for. It's hard to explain that one. So let me ask you this. What has been your greatest success?
Oh, man. You know, my greatest success with my business...
No, in life, what has been your greatest success?
It's been my family. It's keeping my family close and not like I'm keeping them in this little box. It's even through all the stuff that life has thrown from when I was a kid to a teenager, all the way up through college and then into marriage. It has been the consistency where we're open with each other and we're able to kind of, you know, take a couple steps back to move forward. And I've noticed that, you know, cause you know, again, my dad is my business partner and it, it, not in Wilmington, but in Kernersville. I mean, we have a piece of property and our house is over here and my parents' house is up there. So, I mean, it's like, not only do I work with my dad, they live in close proximity to us. And there's no tension around that because our goals are the same, right? Our goals aren't to gather up as much as we possibly can on this earth, no matter what the cost or whoever we hurt. That's not our goal. Our goal is to positively impact people that are within our walk on a day-to-day basis. That's our goal from a family standpoint. It's trial and error, man. But you know what? That is, to me, that's my biggest success, is because I'm able to go home and my kids are, could be up at grandma and pop-up's house, right? You know, Samuel, my son, loves to get up early. Like, I'll leave early and then he'll get up before Jen and Abigail. He'll run up because he knows grandma's going to feed him things that we quote unquote don't approve of, right? But that's like, that's, to me, that is ultimate success and joy, is that, because I know the joy it brings to me, and I can only imagine the joy that it brings to my parents to have their grandkids being there. And that one of Samuel's biggest joy is to get up and go let grandma, because, you know, as you know, we are vegan, right? But my son loves to eat meat, you know, so he'll run up there and grandma will cook him a hamburger, and then it's like their little secret kind of thing. And it's just like, whatever, right? But it's just, it's so fun to see that. So to me, that's like the ultimate success, man. None of this other stuff matters, because I feel T-Kim is the business that I'm in, but if it was something else, I could be successful in that too, right? The widget that I'm working in, I could be successful there. My education isn't like being a brain surgeon where where that's there measured on their success. What I do could be put into any other amount of businesses and just take those systems and kind of implement them. But it's still about people interaction. That's all that it is. And I just love the fact that my family has grown closer as we've grown older, and then we've had kids. And Jennifer's family, I mean, there's like, when Abigail and Samuel go up to there's four generations that are there. You know, Granny and Gramps are there, and then Jennifer's mom and dad, and then us, and then our kids. It's just fun to see that. And that's the joy of life to me. So that's what success is.
Man, I'm always excited when I hear people describe their greatest success. Yeah, and more often than not, when I talk to a business owner that has true vision, it's not about, oh, I'm going to achieve this or that. It's that dash between the two dates on your gravestone. That's what they talk about.
Yep.
You know, is I get to live there. I get to experience that, whether it is with family, my spouse, whatever this journey is, it's all about that dash. I think if I'm going to write a book, I'm going to title it, It's About the Dash.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. I'll be part of that somehow. I can't write real well, but I'll figure something out.
No. I'm just going to quote chapter one. Jonathan says, so let me challenge you. What's been your biggest blunder?
My biggest blunder, if I'm being honest, straight up honest with myself, my biggest blunder is rushing ahead. It's trying to make it work too quick, too fast, and not thinking through the what's going to happen, right? The ramifications of that. So what I've in how that affects is a blunder. The way I look at it is it affects other people, right? Mm. So it's like, I can fix what I have blundered, right, or messed up or made bad, poor decisions around, but ultimately the wave that it affects down, that's what I consider is a blunder. I think back when I was running nursing homes, you know, the first nursing home I had, you know, I had 225 employees, I had 170 residents, and like, there was so much that needed to be fixed in my mind, right? And, you know, on paper, it looked like there was a lot of things to be fixed. So, I mean, I just went in just, all right, I don't care who I've got to chop, who I've got to get rid of. I know I'm doing this for the right reasons, and I'm going to build a solid team that will help me get to that.
What advice do you have for people to change their perspective around what it means to be a CEO and means to be a visionary that's responsible for leading other people?
I mean, I was trying to think if I know anybody, but most of the CEOs that I know too are very team oriented. And most of it's because, you know, I deal with a lot of small businesses within our industry. So they have that focus. If you're not team focused, man, and you're so goal oriented and driven, I would tell you to kind of reprioritize. Yes, have all those goals, make sure you're progressing towards those things, but make sure on the top front of that, you're always invested in. I mean, the biggest expense we all have is our people, right? Well, especially in a service-based industry. And if my investment's not in them, then I don't know what kind of success I'm looking to have. So slow down, focus on what you're doing, and really look at who you're investing in. If you don't know who your people are personally, you don't know their kids, you don't know those kind of things, I don't think you're doing a good job. You know, I'm not saying you can't be successful, but when you're measuring success in the long term, like you said, the dash on my headstone, right? I want to be known that, hey, Jonathan did this for my family, or Jonathan did this, or this was the opportunity that was presented because Jonathan was willing to do these things. And I just want to be known as I was able to serve, right? I was able to give back. I was able to help someone through a time that they needed me there. And if I'm not aware of people, whether it's my team at my business or team at church or in my community, you miss those opportunities to then make that impact, right? There's a movie that my wife loves. I forget the name of it now, but anyway, one of the sayings is like, you know, a moment of impact. So that moment of impact, when you have that interaction with someone, how are you doing that? What moment are you making with that person? And that's, I try to think through that process all the time.
Yeah. I think the importance of a lot of people, they've got goals and they're so goal oriented, and I have nothing against goals, have as many as you want, but you have to stop and understand why. What is the why that drives these things? What it's, you know, when I achieve this goal, is it just for the effect or just the experience that I now get to live? Or is it I'm actually understanding that I'm going to make a difference? So I think really getting in touch with your why. So last question to you, my friend. What are you excited about the future?
So it's opportunity, right? That's what I'm most excited about, is the levels of opportunity that are here. And it goes back to the relationships that I've formed with people and the opportunities that are coming because of those relationships and because the foundation has been built. And it's, you know, the five dysfunctions of the team, right? It's back to that foundational block being trust. That is what I'm noticing where the opportunities are. And that's exciting to me. And it doesn't have to be just business opportunity, right? It is any opportunity. New friends, new social groups, new place where I'm living. And I didn't know a soul in Wilmington. I didn't know a soul, right? The only person I knew was my realtor, and that was like two interactions. So it was the opportunity to come in and like make new friends, make new acquaintances, new business developments, all those things has really just kind of re-energized that thought. And as I think through the process, like, okay, you know, big time goals, man, I want 10 more stores, right? I want 10 being the total. Now that I've done it once, it's like, oh my goodness, how cool is that? That now I get to go into 8 more communities and to be involved and get to know people and just kind of really grow your interaction in a very natural way, right? Use the term, the organic way, face-to-face, handshake to handshake is just, it's really energizing.
I don't know if Jen knows that she's going to live this nomadic life 8 more times.
she's aware, dude. She knows who she married. She's fully aware of what that looks like. No, you know, but there again, it goes back to wealth building, you know? So we're looking at going to have rental places in each one of those things. So trying to take those opportunities to kind of, to grow myself and trying to really reestablish who I am and show up in a good way. And then I always think too, and I know you do this too with your kids, every action or everything that you do, every action you have, I always, in the back of my mind, and sometimes in the front of my mind, it's like, how is this going to affect my kids? But what are they seeing me do right now that could shape their lives, right? I think Dirk said this a while ago, probably last year sometime, that, you know, when he does business deals, right, he'll have that discussion with his kids and tell them the business deal so they understand the inner workings of a deal. And it's like, dude, that is so key to your kids, because every interaction is a negotiation at some point in time. That way they're able to kind of negotiate that and understand the give and take aspect of life, right? From friendship to marriage to business to all those things.
Yeah, I think the further one goes down this journey, you realize that you don't find your identity in what you do. You find your identity in the impact that you're going to have.
Amen.
You know, and for me, that's the beauty of this journey of technician to CEO. It's the beauty of being a business owner or a father or a husband, whatever it is. All these roles that we occupy as humans, is it's not the identity associated with a title. It's the identity associated with the impact that I get to have.
Yeah.
So selfishly, what is TKM? Where do we reach you? Where do we get your great deals? Where do we meet you guys? Where can we get hold of you guys?
Well, you know, so we have two locations now. One's in Kernersville, North Carolina. That's where our corporate office is. That's where we manufacture chemicals. Mainly for the pressure washing industry, those of you who aren't aware. You know, guys that do house washing for a living, all the way over to heavy industry that's using products for degreasing, cleaning, whatever. There's just a whole gamut of things. But Kernersville is our main location. We just opened a secondary location in Wilmington, North Carolina. You know, if you want to get a hold of us, tchemis.com, tchemis.com. You can call us 336-993-6785. You can ask for the Wilmington store if you're in that area. You can ask, you know, there in Kernersville. We really like to meet people, man. You don't even have to have a need for pressure washing, but, you know, come in, say hello. I guarantee you there's something that we do that you're going to need somewhere, whether it's you need to hire somebody to wash something for you or not. That's the beauty about is interacting, putting people together, right? It's taking a homeowner with one of our good contractors and putting them together and the success behind that. Because, I mean, as you know, that contractor has more business, we get more business, and on and on and on, right? That's the easy 1, 2, 3 of it. So I don't know, man. I just come see us. It's fun. And watch, you know, Bergflow, watch all these wonderful podcasts. My good friend Wesley, and then I did another one with John. So, I mean, it's just what a fun time to sit here and talk about stuff like this, right?
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. Thanks for always showing up in the way that you do. I encourage you guys, check out TKM. You know, we'll put a link to their website in the chat and in the commentary of the past podcast. Check them out. If you want to get a hold of TKM, we'll put the number on there as well. Go check out their products. They do not only chemicals, they do equipment. They do, you know, repairs, equipment, consumable sales like nozzles and guns and all the things that you guys need. So they've got a whole bouquet of stuff. If you haven't been to their store, I highly advise, go check them out. Go meet them. If Jonathan's not there, come back and say, I'm only going to deal with Jonathan. So keep coming back until you meet Jonathan.
That's right. That's exactly right.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. Thanks for spending time, man. It's always my pleasure spending time with you, my friend.
Awesome. Enjoyed it, Wesley. Thank you.
Pleasure, bud.